Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
That means God is good all the time in Hebrew, not properly pronounced, but it doesn't matter. It's beginning Hebrew, okay? Kozman. All right. So, first guy I want to talk about is this guy here. And this is our friend, Jeff Lichinsky. And I'm not going to say where he's from because he might not want us to know where he's from, but he put his address on in here. And if you're Canadian, he's from the capital of Canada. And we'll say where the Red Blacks play, or used to play. They canceled the CFL season this year because of coronavirus. So just sad thing, all those young men who were using the money to take care of their families had to find other things to do. So it says, hi, Sandy and your partner. That's Robin, or sorry, couldn't remember his name. Blessing and peace. His name, Pastor Ben. And blessing and peace and prosperity, excellent health to you and to all the family. I am doing better since the last time I wrote you. Jesus is super amazing by blessing me in many areas with material stuff. He said the Lord's blessed him financially. It's beautiful. Signs of all kinds of like regular cardinal birds and which are my favorite. And I'm getting out more, exercise, serving the Lord until Rosh Hashanah, which came and left like I kind of said it would, but I was hoping for everybody. Keep looking up. It's close, bud. And hey, it is. So lots of love to you, Jeff. Thank you so much for your blessing and being a blessing to the ministry.
Amen.
Praise God. I love you guys for all that you do for the ministry and everything. So I just want to read the names and then I'll read the cards tomorrow morning. On this card here is Robert D. Fouts. And he is from Prospect, Tennessee. And, I like both these cards. Pastor Sandy and Pastor Ben, looking forward to the cloud party. Me too. I got great news for everybody today, so don't go anywhere. But I got great news for you. Thank you for all your encouragement and for praying for all the requests. I emailed you, so praise God. And he sent me another really excellent, beautiful card. I want you to see that, and I will read that tomorrow. Let's see, is this it? Yeah. Wait a minute, who is this from? Oh, this is, this card, it's different from this. This is different. You put it in there, Pastor Ben.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is actually Lewis and Don Green, the one who did the artwork.
You mean
where is it at? I have to find it. But anyway, they sent me this card and they did the picture of just Jesus in prison.
Oh,
yes, he drew the picture of Jesus in prison.
Right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, she sent multiple pictures.
End Time, Lewis and Donna Green. No, this is from Lewis and Donna Green. We want to express how much we enjoy your teaching every Sunday on YouTube. Hallelujah. Lewis and Don Green, a native Jersey transplant from Virginia. And so they're living in New Jersey, where Jersey Girl lives. And she also sent me a card. I was looking at that art piece, Pastor Ben. Ah, okay. This is from Jersey Girl. And it's football season. This is my birthday card, just in case we get raptured first. All right. I appreciate that, but I got good news this morning. I may make it to my birthday, and I'll explain to everyone why. Thank you, my wonderful friend in Jersey, your husband's Jersey Girl. And, see. This is why I can't read them all. That's from Jersey Girl. Yep, and this is Jersey Girl's card. Yeah. And let's see. I think I'm getting a lot of things mixed up. Wait a minute. This is from... I got it mixed up, you guys.
Yep.
Okay. This is from... Okay. Well, I'm going to read them all.
Yeah.
Okay. No, this is from Jersey Girl. That's my birthday card. And then this card here, right here, is also from Jersey Girl. So, this is awesome. And we have a big family. A lot of... And this is from, thank you, on the back, what, no name? It just, oh, this is Becky in Minnesota. So thank you so much for this card. It says, when you see the typology, your world is rocked. God is so awesome. Amen.
Amen.
I got a typology for you guys today. And it's not just a typology, it's a word from the Lord. His word is alive and barking. His word is alive. The typologies are very important. Thank you for being obedient and bold in your teaching. I'm really trying to teach people the Bible properly. But every now and then somebody on YouTube gets a hold of them. Then I have to pull them back. Okay, this is from Elaine Nguyen. And I know how to say that because there was a football player with that last name. Thank you for your card.
That's
beautiful, absolutely beautiful. The bride, beautiful bride. Thank you. Thank God he has put you in your position. I watch you to keep inspiration going. It looks like only a handful will be raptured from Maine. It's lovely. I love Pastor Ben's comment expression. He added life. He adds life to the ministry. See you in the cloud party. Amen. Amen. And that's, I'm trying not to miss any. If I do miss it, then it's okay because I got tomorrow. But this right here, this is the picture that Gwen and Greg, yeah, that's Gwen
that's
did.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Those pictures,
that's where they're all on the wall right there behind us. So praise God for that. And this long letter here is, oh, that's from Elaine. This letter here is from Elaine, so I gotta take time and read it when I get home tonight. So praise God, and I'll get a hold of you. If I missed anybody, don't be mad at me, because I will catch it tomorrow morning at the Rashawn Messianic Bible Club.
Shalom from Hong Kong, Pastor.
Okay, praise God. And I talked to, Jack Reed today, so that's all good. Oh, no. Jack Reed is over in Gardena.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, praise the Lord. Did we pray in?
We didn't pray in.
I'm going to pray in right now, okay?
You have a towel right there.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to pray in because, and then I'm going to have you guys say amen real loud so God knows.
Don said Hong Kong is in China, not Japan.
You know what? Thank you. That that is.
And Martinique is also chiming in.
And what?
Martinique.
Oh, Martinique is here?
Yeah.
All right. Comment ça va, my friends with your French accent. God bless you guys. I have great news for you guys tonight, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with everybody. It is very important. So let's pray in. Everybody bow your head. And I just want to say thank you, Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for this evening. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the many people around the world, Father God, that have connected to this ministry. Thank you, Father God, for filling them with your word, for giving them an interest, Father God, to dive deeper into your word. Today you've given me a word, Father God, and I just pray that I'm able to express it the way you want, Father God. Thank you for leading and guiding me in all that I do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I am I want to talk about the number 8, okay? I want to talk about how important the number 8 is, okay? Because the number 8 is the number for new beginnings, okay? If you spell Jesus' name out in Greek, the numerical value of Jesus' name is 888, because after 7 days, the eighth day is what? The beginning of a new, right? So in the Hebrew, God makes sure that everything connected to 8 has to do with new life or something brand new occurring, okay? I do not have this Bible study together with the strength that God would want me to have it, but I was just getting into it right before I left and God had given it to me, because I asked the Lord the question, why did he change the calendar? You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't even know that God changed the calendar, and he changed the calendar to prophesy to us and so that things would fall into place exactly the way he wants it. Now, I'm not talking about change the Gregorian calendar. Let me explain to you something about it. Your calendar that you're on was designed by a Catholic bishop or pope, and his name was Pope Gregory, okay? And your calendar that you're on has all the names of pagan gods, okay? Tuesday represents one of the pagan gods. Monday is one of the pagan gods. Thursday is for Thor, one of the pagan gods, okay? And then when you get to all the months, they're all named after pagan gods, all the way up to, I think, the 8th or 9th. Then they start using the numbers. But all of the days of the week are named after pagan gods, okay? So the calendar that we have is called a Gregorian calendar, but God has his own calendar, which is a Hebrew calendar, which basically none of the days have names. All of the days are numbers, and all of the months are numbers, okay? Now, the names that you see up here on the Hebrew calendar are really adopted from Babylon, okay? But they've been adopted as the names that the scriptures use in letting you know with which month it was, okay? But it always gives you that, what was the first month, what was the second month, what was the third month, just like the days, you know? How many of you guys have ever read about Tuesday and Wednesday in the Bible? None, huh? Right. He's like, you know, and God created this, and there was evening and there was morning, and that was Tuesday. It doesn't say that, you know? So I'm just letting you know, God is always a God of numbers, and all of his days are numbers, and all of his months are numbers, and none of them are names, because that's Pope Gregory. And then the Babylonians giving them these names. And we could go through them, but that would take a long time. So I want us to get into the Word of God first, and then we'll look at this, because I want you to really understand 8. I want to show you guys something. You know this? Now watch this, okay? What is this symbol for? What's that a symbol for? Eternity, right? Okay, now who, what does that represent?
Christ.
Well, if you stand it up, what is that?
Eight.
Who gives you eternity?
Christ.
Jesus Christ, okay? So this symbol is actually a symbol. It is a symbol that God designed to say that this must be in this position before he can give you eternity. So Christ died, and then he rose again so that you could have eternity, okay? This is, I can't think of hologram. I have the word in here, but I just want you to know that this is not an accidental symbol. This is something that God created, and he's telling you a story. The story is someone's going to have to die if you're going to have eternal life. Okay? Yeah. The eighth letter in Hebrew is chai, or het, and it's for the word chai, which is life. Okay? Everything that has to do with eternity and a brand new beginning is going to begin on the eighth day. Okay? So, let's get into our Bible here, and then we'll kind of switch over, and I'm letting the Lord lead. So I promise you tomorrow morning, because I'm going to be up all night studying this number eight, because you need to know, how long are we going to be among this mess? You know, the fires, the earthquakes, the tornadoes. How long are we going to be? And the Lord is like, not much longer. Okay, just relax. Not much longer. You're in my hands. You won't be here that much longer. But I've designed it so that the words of Jesus comes true. Okay? And the words of Jesus says, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Okay? Now, I need us to go, first of all, to the book of Genesis. And I'm going to read chapter 6 first.
Pastor Sammy, could you let them know that Janelle is sending out the notes?
Oh, if you don't have the notes for tonight, Janelle is sending them out right now. So check your computer and then print it if you need to sit at a desk. But it's okay, because tomorrow morning, I think I'm going to have a lot. I think I'm going to have this thing down pat. Okay. Tonight is like I'm just dancing in my own shoes trying to get it out. Okay? So here we go. And I appreciate everybody trying to get people ready for the rapture, because if you're preaching rapture, you are my friend. If you're preaching once saved, always saved, you're not my friend. But if you're preaching rapture and getting ready and staying ready and being ready to fly, you are my friend. So here we go. We're in Genesis. I am in chapter 6. And it says, and the Lord said, chapter 6, verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Okay, that word strive means what? Contend, plead with, beg for, right? Yeah. So God is saying, the time that he's begging people to accept me and let me be a part of your life is running out. Okay? He is not going to always contend with man or strive with man. Okay? And it says, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Okay? So, at this time, God is about to give Noah an assignment. And what's the assignment? Build an ark. Okay? Now, I want you to know this, the Bible is not a book of stories. The Bible is a book of world history. I don't know where they were looking for the ark and all of that, but there is a Mount Ararat, okay? And like there were chariot wheels under the Red Sea, there's evidence that what God wrote actually happened, okay? The world did have a worldwide flood. That was confirmed to me when I went to Cancun. One of the guys said, hey, you know, there was a time when Mayans were growing to be 6'4" and 6'5" here. And they said it was right before the flood. I said, wait a minute, this is on the other side of the world. So you mean that they had giants even in this top part of the area? So because Mayans were really short people in Cancun, they were like maybe a tall guy was maybe 5'6", 5'5", really? And that was a tall guy, you know? So they were very, but he said, right before the flood, there were giants in the area. So I want you to know when I'm reading to you about the ark, this is not a story. This is what happened in the world, okay? Sin became too great, and God ended his grace period of trying to get people to stop sinning, and grace was over, and now the flood came, okay? So he says, it will, your time will now be 120 years. Noah was 480 years old at the time when God gave him this assignment. So 480, an additional 120 years would be 600 years. So the flood's going to begin when Noah is 600 years old, okay? So let's go to chapter 7. It says at the top, the Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Okay? Now, we are living in the only other documented 120-year count of the righteous generation. Stop. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I hope you got them. Okay. It says, it says, take with you seven of every kind of clean animal. So he starts telling him to take all these animals aboard the ark. Okay, let's go down to verse 6. It says, Noah was 600 years old when the flood came on the earth. Okay, so 600 minus 120 is what? 480. So we know that this came when Noah was 480. Now it's 120 years later. God told him it's going to be 120 years. Now here we are. It says Noah was 600 years old when the flood came on the earth. Noah and his sons and his wife and his son's wife entered the ark to escape the water of the flood. Okay. Now let's go up to verse 11. In verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were open. And the rains fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, let's look at when did the flood take place. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day, on the second month, okay? Now, let's go to the board for a second. All right, now, if you looked at the Hebrew calendar right now, today, this is what the calendar would look like. Nisan's the first month, second month, third month, fourth month, fifth month, sixth month, seventh month, eighth month, ninth month, 10th month, 11th month, 12th month. Okay, 12th month. So that's how the calendar is supposed to go now, okay? Because God made Nisan the first month of the year. Before the flood, look at this. Nisan was the seventh month of the year. Iyar was the eighth month of the year. Sivan was the ninth month of the year. So you see how God flipped the calendar and he said, no, from now on, Tishri will not be the seventh month. God said, from now on, Nisan will be the first month. Okay? Now, I need you to understand that because we're going to go into something here. Here we go. I'm showing you perfection, and I got to do a good job. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. So now, here we are. So the flood happens, and there's water day and night. People are screaming. People are dying. But there is eight people on the ark. Okay? Noah, who represents who? Christ. Because Noah means rest. But Noah spelled backwards means what? Grace. So Noah is our rest, Christ is our rest, and Christ is our grace. The other seven represent who?
Church.
The church. So this is a prophecy about the rescue of one who is the rest and grace of us all, and seven other members who represent the church. Okay? This whole prophecy is about us, the church. This is not about rescuing Israel. This is about Jesus Christ and seven other members, okay? So let's go. So now let's go over to chapter 8. It says, the waters, It said, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed and the rains had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. On the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to a rest on Mount Ararat. Okay? Now, this is important. The ark, after all this time, it comes to rest on a mountain called Ararat. What does Ararat mean? Reverse the curse. Reverse the curse. This happened on the 17th day of the 17th month of the seventh month. Are you reading that there? Okay, so let's look at the calendar. Not this calendar, we gotta look at before the flood. So before the flood, the seventh month would have been Nisan. Okay? And the 17th day would have been what? The day Jesus resurrected from the grave. So the mountain comes to rest on Mount Ararat to reverse the curse on the exact same day that Jesus resurrected, is the exact same day that the ark comes to rest on Mount Ararat. So God is making the ark rest on Mount Ararat on a specific day so that you know on this exact day in the future, the curse is going to be reversed. Wow. What curse? The curse of sin, because the price of sin is death in Hades, death in hell, okay? But God wants to give all human beings the opportunity to have life. And so therefore Christ dies on the cross. When does he die on the cross? On the 14th of the, we call it the first month now, but they called it the seventh month. On the first, on the month of Nisan, on the 14th, Jesus dies. He's in the grave how long? 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, he resurrects. So the exact day for the ark is the exact day for the resurrection. When the ark landed on Reverse the Curse Mountain, Jesus rose from the grave and reversed the curse for us. Okay? So now we see why God changed the calendar. Because this is what happened. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. I'm trying to take us through this. This is a today and tomorrow Bible study, letting you know. Because I'm getting to the rapture, for all you rapture buffs out there. I'm getting to the rapture. But listen what it says in Exodus chapter 12. Listen what God tells. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, because they're going to leave Egypt on this day. It says they're about to leave Egypt. He says, this month is to be for you the first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each family. Okay? So now he's saying this month, which was now Nisan, he's saying no longer is this the seventh month. This month is now going to be the first month of the year for you. Okay? And I want you on this month, on the 10th day, everybody to go out and get a lamb. So everyone goes out and gets a lamb. Now go down to take care of them, what them? The lambs, until the 14th day of the month. when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So at twilight is the same time Jesus Christ died on the cross. When? On the 14th day of Nisan. So when they're coming out of Egypt with this lamb, he says, go and get a lamb and take care of him for how long? On the 10th, go get him on the 10th. Take care of him for how long? 4 days. After you take care of him for 4 days, then at twilight, kill the lamb and place the blood of this lamb on the doorposts of your home, because the death angel is coming and everyone who's covered with this blood will not experience death. Okay? So, God doesn't tell them at the time, but he's like, this is a prophecy about a future lamb who's going to come into Jerusalem on the 10th. And they're going to expect him and make sure that he's perfect. But then on the 14th of Nisan, they're going to kill that lamb at twilight.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, on the 17th of Nisan, he's going to resurrect. Going to reverse the curse. That's going to fulfill also the prophecy of what? The prophecy that a lamb is coming into the world to die and reverse the curse for all mankind. God was planning Christ many years ago. Okay, now. I told you all that to tell you this. Are you ready? I asked God, Lord, why did you start the flood on the 17th of Cheshvan? Because if we go back to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, let's look when the flood started. It said the flood started in the 600th year. We're in the 6,000th year, so that's covered. On the 17th day of the second month. On that day, all the springs burst forth. So it's the 17th day, and it is the second month. Okay? So it wouldn't have been, this is now the, wait a minute. We got to go down here. Because this is before what? The Exodus. So that means these are the 2 months we're dealing with now. So this second month of the year was what? Cheshvan, right here. Cheshvan, the flood started when? On the 17th day of the month. Okay? Now, what month was Cheshvan turned to when God changed the calendars? It became the eighth month. Why the eighth month? What happens in the eighth month?
New life, new beginning.
Okay? But the new life and the new beginning that's supposed to take place took place in the second month. And remember, that flood represents what? The church. This flood beginning in the second month on the 17th day, it happened on the second month and the 17th day, and it was the 600th year of Noah's life. Okay? Now, I'm looking at that and I go, well, the second month of the year now is IR, so maybe it would, God's like, he changed the calendar for a reason. Because the eighth month is very important to God. The eighth month of the year is now Cheshvan. When is Cheshvan on our calendar? This is usually between October and November. And a matter of fact, November 4th is Cheshvan. But the most important thing to know is that Cheshvan is the month of new beginnings. Do you understand? So I'm asking God, why is Cheshvan the eighth month? It says the eighth month is in accordance to what Jesus taught. What did Jesus taught? It will be as it was in the days of Noah. Yeah, but the flood happened on the second month. Yeah, but I changed it. because I'm going to do a new thing and fulfill a prophecy in the eighth month, because the whole prophecy was not about Israel and its rescue. The whole prophecy was about rest and grace, dying on the cross to give new life, and eight in what? The eighth month. So I keep saying, Rosh Hashanah does not fulfill the feast days, the last feast days. Rosh Hashanah fulfills the end of the tribulation. It fulfills the 144,000 going up. It fulfills the harvest of the fruit harvest at the end of the tribulation. Then it fulfills 10 days later, Jesus Christ coming back down to the earth and rescuing Israel. So Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Feast of Tabernacles are all what? End of the tribulation prophecies to fulfill the last three feast days. Just as the first feast days, Passover, okay, first fruit, okay, Pentecost, these were all fulfilled when Christ came. So now God is going to fulfill the last feast days. But remember, the first one were all fulfilled by Jews. And the last three are going to be fulfilled by Jews, because God gave the feast days to who? Israel.
Yes.
He said, these are my feast days, but I'm giving them to you. Okay? He did not say, these are my feast days, but I'm giving it to you and the whole Gentile world. No, I have another plan for the whole Gentile world. Okay? And the whole Gentile world is going to also experience a rescue and a new beginning, but I'm going to prophesy about it by showing you the flood of Noah. Okay? Let's go.
Man.
I haven't even studied this yet. I'm trying to get close to it. So let's look at some of the eight in the Bible, okay? Okay, yeah, Herogloth. I don't even know what that is, but that's the octave laying on its side, which means eternity. I would like us to, let me go into this, my study here. I would like us to really understand. I tried to do something last week and I got, you know, it's one of those things that you study in Hebrew and you get a clear understanding, but explaining it to people who have always spoken English and don't understand Hebrew yet, you might have problems because it's really hard. And I was talking to you about Jesus being, about the Adam being created on the eighth day, okay? And Adam being created on the eighth day, because the eighth day is what? What do you guys think the eighth day is? Well, if you gave it a name, like one of our pagan names, what was the eighth day be? Let's see. The week starts on Sunday. And then we have Monday. Then we have Tuesday. Then we have Wednesday. Thursday. Then Friday. Then we have Saturday, and then we have Sunday again, right? Watch this. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's Shabbat right there, right? That's Shabbat. What's the eighth day? You're back to Sunday. When did Jesus Christ resurrect from the grave?
Sunday.
Early Sunday morning, right? When did God create Adam?
On the eighth day.
What happened to Jesus on the eighth day? He came up out of the ground with new life. With new life. What happened to Adam, the first Adam? God created him out of the dust of the ground and blew life into him, and he became a living soul. Also on the eighth day. Okay? So what I'm trying to explain to you is the importance of the eighth day, because on the eighth day, God is planning a new beginning, a new life, okay? Everything about the eighth day. Let's look at something here. Let's go to I took off my glasses like I don't need them. Okay. Now, let's go to the book of John. chapter 1 through 8. Now, if you write Jesus' name in Greek, it's what? 888. He resurrected on Sunday morning, the eighth day. Gets kind of crazy, right? But God is trying to show you everything that has to do with Jesus is new life on the eighth day. Okay, are you in John chapter 3, verse 1? It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wait a minute. Did you accept Jesus Christ tonight? Did you accept Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior? Have you done it before, or you're coming back to Christ? Okay, so you're born again, right? You're born again, you're born of the Spirit of God. What Christ is trying to explain to Nicodemus is what is commanded to every man in the whole world. You must be born again. You must have a new birth experience that is not flesh, but is spirit that comes from God inside of you, okay? So here we are. Now it says Nicodemus. Okay, so in this one it says, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's one born, okay? Then it says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb to be born? So that's three times he's mentioned born, okay? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the fourth time. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Okay, so that's 5 and 6. And then it says, marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear it and the sound thereof, and canst not tell where it came from, whether it goes. So it is with everyone that is born, number 8, in the 8th verse of the Spirit. So God uses the word born 8 times in this whole conversation, talking to Nicodemus about what? New life. It is the 8th day. It is the 8th everything that God wants to show you, that he's always in a pattern. And his pattern is life begins in the 8th, okay? And if this is what God showed me today, we are so close to going home. I almost started dancing right there at my desk. My little feet were patting, but I didn't have the energy to get up. But I could have danced right there, because God said, I asked God, why did you change the calendar? To fulfill prophecy, he says. And what's the prophecy? And why did you start the flood on the second month, on the 17th day? Well, the 17th, we all know, is the division of what? 9 and 8, right? That's numbers plus judgment is 9, life is 8. And they happen at the same time. That's why that number is important.
Yeah.
Okay? But the other reason was, why did you do it in the second month on Heshvan? Oh, because I'm going to turn the calendars, and when this actually happens, it'll be the 8th month. Mm. And it'll be time for a new beginning. Now, you're in the 8th month, or coming up to the 8th month, in the 600th year, okay? In the 600th year, and I mean, well, you talk about Noah's time, because we're past the 6,000, happened in 2017. But now we're in the 120. So it was the 120th year, and It was the month of Heshvan that the flood began. Who is the one who said, it shall be as it was in the days of Noah? Jesus. What was he giving us a hint about? Study the days of Noah, and now you'll see when this event is about to come upon mankind. Okay? Let's look at some more incredible stuff.
15 minutes.
Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. And if you read the whole thing, Deuteronomy, it's just a whole thing talking about the wonderful thing, the wonderfulness of the rock. The rock. The rock. Matter of fact, I'm going to go there instead of just reading from my note pages. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Okay? And I'm going to start reading at verse 4. Are you with me? I hope so. It says, he is our rock. His works are perfect. And all his ways are just. A faithful God. You mean the rock is God? Who does no wrong, upright, just is he. Wow. Sounds like they're talking about somebody important, right? I'm going to go down to verse 15. Jeshurun, which is another name for Israel, grew fat and kicked, filled with food, and became heavy and sleek. He abandoned the God who made him. He rejected the rock, his Savior. They made him jealous with their foreign gods. So who is this? Who is this rock? And we look at the scriptures, and we began to study, and we say, wow, the rock is no other than Zor in the Hebrew, which has a numerical value of 296. Is God a Trinity? Yes. God is a Trinity. Times 3, 8, 8, 8. Did God have to spell rock like that? Or did he spell rock like that so that it equals 296? So 3 times the rock is going to equal God.
Yes.
So Jesus is who?
The rock.
The rock. He's the rock of their salvation. He's the rock that they rejected. But God said, well, I won't make rock spell 8888, but I'm going to have it spell 296, so you'll know when you see the Trinity of it, that it's really Jesus, the 888. They rejected the rock. But why does Jesus have to be the 888? This is turned to a Hebrew class. I did not mean for that to happen. But it has. That's an aleph in Hebrew. Aleph means champion, God, the ox. The ox means he's a burden bearer. Yeah. Do you know that? God calls himself a burden bearer.
Yeah.
He says, I am the ox. You can load all your troubles, all your burdens on me because I'm going to carry all your burdens. So this word, aleph, also means ox, but it also means aluf, a champion. Okay? God is the rock. But three rocks, okay? I mean, three olives is, I'm just writing it like this. Three olives is what? 1, 1, 1, okay? And let me look at this. Wow. Let's go times 8. Let's go times 8. How much is 111 times 8? If Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of them are God, times a new beginning would equals 888. So it's like, okay, Everything about God is the new beginning starting on the eighth day. Why do we go to church on Sunday? Because it's the eighth day. Listen, you guys. What we're trying to express to you today is everything in Scripture is based on eight. God had plans to have a king for Israel. You know that? God had plans that he was going to give Israel a king. And who did he want Israel's king to be? Don't say Saul. I have to throw something at you. They chose Saul, right? They said, we want Saul. But it was always God's plan that David would someday be king. Who is David? David is the eighth son of Jesse. Now, you remember when they sent the prophet there to go find a king for the nation of Israel and to anoint this man to be king over Israel, he brought out his seven sons. And as he brought them out, Samuel said, nope, that's not the one. He brought out the second one. Nah, that's not him. They brought out third one, big, strong, handsome. They said, oh, this got to be the king right there. The prophet said, no, God doesn't judge like you. He's not the one. They brought the fourth, and then they brought up the fifth, then they brought up the sixth, and they brought up the seventh. And they said, do you have any more kids? Because this ain't working. He said, yeah, we have one little ruddy guy out there in the field. Not very tall, not very big, but you know, he's a good worker. Bring him in, see if he's the one. Brought him in, and the prophet went, oh my God, that's the one. Who? The eighth son. So David is the eighth son. Why? The eighth is going to be the new beginning. So we continue to ask, God, why? You didn't just change the calendars just to change the calendars. If God doesn't change the calendar, then Nisan would not be the first month of the year. So then that means Jesus Christ, here we have the seventh month. The seventh month would have been Nisan. The first month would have been Tishri. That would have been all off, because we know that the ark rested on the Nisan, on the 17th of Nisan. And the ark resting on the 17th of Nisan had to do with a prophecy about Jesus. Okay? So God had to switch the months so that when we get out of Egypt, we can say, okay, Nisan is now going to be the first month, because I got everything that has to happen with Jesus has to be on the first month. The lamb has to die on the first month. It can't die in Tishri. That's the seventh month. That used to be the number one month. I'm switching the calendars around because I'm trying to tell you a story, okay? And the story is what? This all has to happen on the 17th of Nisan, the 14th of Nisan. Jesus comes into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan. They examine Jesus for 4 days. Why? To make sure he's a perfect lamb. Then he dies on the cross on the 14th of Nisan. He's in the grave for 3 days. He resurrects on the 17th of Nisan. The ark rest on the mountain on the 17th of Nisan, and it reverses the curse. The lamb in Egypt dies on the 14th of Nisan. They cross through the Red Sea on the 17th of Nisan. So Jesus is also our Passover.
Yes.
So I'm just letting you know, God did this month changing thing for a reason. You understand? And so for us to think that he didn't change the second month to the eighth month for a reason is our foolishness. Because he changed the second month to the eighth month because the eighth month is a future prophecy. Of what? Of one going up with seven. Of one going up with seven. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4. And then we're going to finish up here. And then I'm going to study all night. And then we're going to get back to this, because I asked God a question and he answered the question. And he says, my people need to get excited. Yeah. Because there's too much going on. He says, you know, the Lord is like, there's too much going on. He says, do you think those fires that are being started up north are accidental fires? Or do you think they're purposely being set and people are dying and losing their homes up there because they are purposely setting the same that they did in 2018 when they burnt up Paradise, California, when all the homes burnt up, but it just happened to be that it was the first forest fire that burnt up only homes and no trees. But we're supposed to be, but we got to believe whatever TV tells us, and we got to say, oh, those, you know, somebody started a forest fire and it just burnt up homes, but it didn't burn up any trees. Those were designed radiation beam fires, okay? And now they're doing the same thing up north. Now they have a machine in Boulder where they're controlling weather. So now the guy, I got to send you the interview. The guy says it's impossible for a tornado to go from 1 to 4 in 12 hours. Did you get it?
I got it.
But if you have a machine that controls weather, we've got a 666 giant that's controlling weather and he's bringing up tornadoes with. Now he's trying to do earthquakes.
Yep.
Whales dying in Australia. They're shooting the beams down into the water trying to cause an earthquake there. So this demon, this 666 giant is acting up. And I'm asking God, how much will the church have to see and endure? The time is short. The time is short. Why is the time short? Because of what Jesus says. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. 17th of Heshvan is days away, not months. It's days away, maybe 45 days or so away, right? So I'm just letting you know, if what Jesus said is absolute truth and the 17th of Heshvan is coming up, I said this 6 months ago, it might be the 17th of Heshvan, but I told him the 17th of Heshvan is in November. Now we were in June or something like that then, right? Everybody like, nah, we don't want to hear about November. We want the rapture to happen now.
I remember
I said, you know, if it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, it'd be the 17th of Heshvan, but I don't want to go there because I don't want no tomatoes thrown at me. But now you're here, okay? And now, as I said, there will not be a Rosh Hashanah rapture because Rosh Hashanah does not represent the church. It represents Israel. So now we've got to deal with the 17th of Heshvan. And we've got to deal with the fact that this is the 120th year. And we have to deal with the fact that all of this is going on in the world. And so now we know that. And the Lord told me about a month ago, they know something's about to happen.
Yeah, they do.
He said, they're not sitting there oblivious. My children know something's about to happen. We just have to be able to understand what the Word of God is saying about the departure, okay? And the departure is soon. Praise God. And I'm going to see you guys tomorrow morning. We're going to get more into this because I got some 8 prophecies and there's some things in the scripture that feasts were planned on the eighth month. A feast with all the people of God were planned on the eighth month. So all of these prophecies are there and I'm like, Lord, it's almost time to go to Bible study. I can't do all. He says, do what you can tonight. Stay up tonight, study, come back tomorrow, and then show the rest of the prophecies that point to the eighth month being the month that the king plans a party for the people. And that's in Kings, but I will talk about that tomorrow. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.